Hey everyone, it's Adam, and you're listening to the Embrace Podcast. God is doing so many incredible things at all of our physical locations in South Dakota, in Minnesota, and also online. Learn more about Embrace and how to get connected at iamembrace.com. I hope today's message encourages you and inspires you. Let's jump in.
Well, hey Embrace, welcome to church today. Hope you guys are doing well. If we haven't met, my name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here at 57th. Want to say hi to our campuses and our network churches. Thanks for tuning in. We don't take it for granted that you guys, you know, put on pants and go to church on Sunday. So thanks for doing that. We're glad that you're here. We're continuing our five things series, five things I wish I knew about following Jesus. And there's a million things in my life that I wish I knew then that I know now. You're like, man, I wish I really knew that before at that time. And one of the things that I thought about this week, we have our family has a cabin. It's my grandparents' cabin up in Wisconsin. We don't get there very often. We love it though. We've got a ton of memories from when I was little and then when my kids were little. And this week I thought of this time, one of our favorite memories is when a mama duck decided to start pushing the baby ducklings out of the nest to show them to the world, like get them going. The problem was mama duck had built this nest pretty high and above a cement sidewalk going down to our lake. Check out this video.
Here comes another one. Heads up.
Oh, he's okay. He's okay.
Then you got to bring him down to the water. Marin and the dead one.
Heads up. Go
ahead, son. You can do it.
Quick, we got our Joe. We got another one for you. Don't step on him.
There he goes.
So first I have to apologize because you know how you hear your own voice on video and you're like, that's what I sound like? I'm sorry, that was me cackling at the beginning. I apologize. But I'll bet Mama Duck wished she knew to not build her nest above a cement sidewalk. She lost a couple ducklings that day, but then my brother just started catching them as they fell out of the net, and it's one of our favorite memories of all time. I wish I knew as a parent things that I know now. I wish I knew when I started as a parent that you should not lock your two-year-old in their room to teach them to stay in bed till 7 a.m. They can't tell time. They don't know when 7 a.m. is, whether you lock them in there or not. Don't do that. I also wish I knew some things about marriage before I got married. I wish I knew it was okay to lie when you're asked the question, hey, does this make me look fat? I asked my wife that question this morning and she didn't say anything. She just walked away. I'm like, come on, you can lie about that. That's a thing. And so today, the thing I wish I knew before following Jesus is that it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. And this is one of those lies. This is one of those lies that the enemy wants to whisper to us. And the lie goes something like this. Brian, you love Jesus. You're a Christian. You go to church every Sunday. You're doing all the right things. You got a nice job. You're even kind of generous sometimes every now and then. You've stayed away from the big sins. And since you've done all that and you love Jesus, life's going to be easy for you. And that's a lie that doesn't hurt anything for a while. It's fine for a while, as long as life is humming along and that lie is just kind of stuck back in the back of your mind. It's like, hey, you're doing great. You did these good things and now you've got blessing coming your way. You've done this and now good things are coming your way. And that lie doesn't matter a lick until it happens. And you know what it is, like a left hook out of nowhere. It is the affair. It is the diagnosis that you didn't see coming. It is the promotion that went to her rather than you. And now, because you allowed that lie to sit back there in the back of your mind, now it comes to the forefront, and it's a struggle for your faith. It's a fight for faith. You are wondering, okay, if this is the deal, if this is what it means to follow Jesus, then why would I be in for that? I thought life was going to be easy. Now, I want to be clear. There's struggle and then there's struggle, okay? There are struggles and then there are struggles. I'm not talking about this kind of struggle. Jesus, please stop giving me your toughest battles. And Jesus is like, you literally just need to fold your clothes, okay? I'm not talking about that, okay? If folding your clothes is your toughest battle, then we need to have a different discussion. On a side note, if you're not following our Embrace Youth Instagram, who has Meme Mondays, like, you're going to thank me for that. Check them out. Good stuff. I wish I knew before following Jesus it won't be easy. I'm not sure when this idea kind of seeped into Christian life and Christian thought. I don't think it was early in Christian history, because the early leaders of the church, guys like Paul and Peter, they died for the faith. They were murdered because they loved Jesus, because they preached Jesus. And so I don't think it was then. I don't think it was soon after that, because church history, particularly early church history, is marred by mass persecution of Christians. Like, that's just a thing. And so this idea that life is going to be easy isn't a biblical idea. We don't see it in the pages of the Bible. However, there are passages that if you look at them quickly, you might be like, oh yeah, that means life's going to be easy. And this is one of those verses. Jesus says in Matthew, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." And as we glance at that passage, the words that kind of jump off the page to me are easy and light. And so if you're just reading this quickly, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, I'm following Jesus, so my life's gonna be easy. My burdens are gonna be light. Like, my anxiety is gonna be light. And that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying his burden is lighter. It's easier than the world, but he doesn't promise those things. What does he promise? He promises rest. He says, you will have rest for your soul, which is different than exclusion from struggle. He didn't say that by any means. In fact, Jesus' own words earlier in Matthew, "For God gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike." Jesus is telling us those who are good and those who are evil, those who are just and those who are unjust, they will have the same experience in this life. It'll be the same for them. Some days will bring sunshine for them. Other days will bring rain. You see, today my job is to help us understand that following Jesus, yeah, it's not going to be easy. And then beyond that, if it's not going to be easy, why would we do it? Why would we put ourselves through this life? And you probably don't know this about me, but I'm a bit of a student of academic linguistics, like higher language. Like, I'm somebody who just wants to say the exact right word. I like perfect pronunciation. And so here's the deal. When I was thinking through this, as a student of academic linguistics, I wanted to be able to give you the correct words to shine light on the mysteries of the Bible. So with that in mind, our first point is, this crap ain't gonna be easy. Okay, it ain't gonna be easy. It just won't. And I want us to take a look at a character from the Bible by the name of Isaiah. Isaiah was about 700 years prior to Jesus. He was a prophet of God. Isaiah was given God's message to send to the Israelite nation. And in this passage, we're going to see Isaiah's vision. He has a vision of him being before God. He sees God, and then God is commissioning him to go. And so we're looking through the eyes of Isaiah here. This is what it says in Isaiah 6. "Then I, Isaiah, heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' Isaiah says, 'I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me.'" That's Isaiah's response to God. And this is one of those famous passages in the Bible. In fact, we did a message series on this a few months back. Here I am. This is one of those verses in the Bible that just, it looks good on a mug. Like, here I am, send me. What are you going to do today? I'm going to go make all the sales. Here I am, send me. It's a rallying cry. This verse is a rallying cry for Christians. Who's going to go tell a world that's far from God about God? We'll point to Isaiah 6:8. Here I am, send me. It looks great on a mug. But there are verses in the Bible that don't look great on a mug. And in fact, an example of one of those verses is the very next verse. God's responding, and he's saying, yes, go, Isaiah. Yeah, it will be you. I choose you. Go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people, Isaiah, plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing. You see, what God was asking Isaiah to do, the message he gave him to send to the Israelite nation, that was a really hard message because the Israelite nation was already too far gone. And so, who's going to go for us? Isaiah's like, me, I'm your guy. And God's like, okay, thank you. Here's your message. Go tell them they're going to hear you, but they won't understand. Go tell them that they are going to see things, but they will not comprehend because they are too far from me. And I want you to go tell them this. And Isaiah's like, that's a hard job. God, that's a really hard job. Like, I want to do what you're asking. That's a really hard job. So let me ask you this, God. Isaiah's like, how long will this last? At least will this be over soon? And God responds, this message will stand until their towns are empty and their homes are deserted and the whole country is a wasteland, until the Lord has sent everyone away and the entire land of Israel lies deserted. God, how long am I going to have to do this? Until their towns are empty. God, for real, how long will this take? Until the whole country's a wasteland. And what I want you to see in Isaiah's story here is Isaiah is in the middle of God's will for him. He is smack dab in the middle of it. He's doing exactly what God has asked him to do. He hasn't gone off track at all. He's in the middle of God's will, and it is really, really hard. It is a struggle. It is not an easy task set before him. And he's doing exactly what God has asked him to do. My wife Andrea and I, we have friends from the Twin Cities by the name of Don and Colleen. Here's a picture of them. This is a picture of them in Paris on like their 100th anniversary. They're super old. Don and I, we went on a mission trip together a few years back, and we were part of like a dozen, 15 men and women that went on this mission trip to Paraguay, South America. And if you've ever been on a mission trip or some type of service trip, it's hard to explain to people who haven't gone on one, but if you've been on one, you understand like the bond that you form around a shared experience. Like, you're just in it together, and you've shared that experience, and you get back, and you're like, got all these inside jokes, the whole thing. It was a wonderful time. But we're in Paraguay, South America, in this small community on the Paraguay River, which is a really large river, and the ministry there used a boat to go about 3 or 4 hours up and down the river to get to communities that could only be gotten to from the river. There were no roads to these communities. That's the only way people could get to them. And so we went to these communities, and we brought basic medical care. We brought the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it was amazing. Like, we were doing exactly what God asked us to do. So life should be easy, right? But we're back one of the nights after a long day on the river, and Don and I and about 4 or 5 other guys were in the men's bunkhouse, and we're hanging out. We've showered up. We're sitting around the kitchen table. We're exhausted from the day. And we're just kind of yucking it up, talking about some funny things that had happened, and all of a sudden, a rat. I think he was this big. He was this big. I guarantee you he was that big. A rat comes running out from under the sink, and this rat was an athlete. He was jumping on windows. He was going on rafters. He was everywhere. And the men, the 5 or 6 men in this room, I would say, started yelling and screaming like little girls, but that would be offensive to little girls. We lost our minds, and we're screaming. We're going nuts. Somebody do something. Don, my boy Don, 100-year-old Don, grabs a broom, keeping his head on straight, and he goes after that rat. And he is going after him. He's fighting a vicious battle with this rat. Me, as the good leader that I am, have positioned myself behind Don and am yelling encouragement to him. Kill it before it devours us. Don's winning the battle. But yet, the rat decides he's got one more attack in him, and he runs straight at Don. Which means if he gets past Don, he's coming right at me. So I do the only thing left to do. I jump on Don's back, and I'm telling Don, kill him, kill him, kill him. Eventually, Don wins the battle. He wins the war. I dismount. I look at Don, and I say, whew, Almost lost my composure there. And here's what I want you to hear. Even when you're doing right, even when you're doing good, a rat might show up in your life. It's not going to be easy. That's one of those experiences that you can't help but be closer to people after it. Don and Colleen have become really close friends of ours. They're mentors and friends of Andrea and I's. And from a distance, like we're 4 hours from them now. We miss them. We don't get to see them as much. But these are people that love Jesus. They're on their prayer team at church. They're generous to the people around them. They love their family well. They care about the next person coming to know Jesus. Don and Colleen are smack dab in the middle of God's will for them in retirement, not just collecting seashells, like they are reaching people for Jesus. And in 2021, a rat showed up in their life. And Colleen was diagnosed with breast cancer. For the second time in her life, now in the midst of COVID, she is shut at home by herself, going through treatments, having poison poured into her body as she tries to fight off cancer again. And I talked to Colleen this week and I said, Colleen, what was your response? What was your response when you got this diagnosis? And she didn't miss a beat. She said, Brian, this is a win-win. And I said, I don't understand. What do you mean? She goes, either I beat Don and I get to go see Jesus before he does. Or God heals me and I get to stay here with the family that I love and know that God has something else for me here. You see, what I don't want us to do is I don't want us to lie to ourselves or believe the lie that's in the back of our mind that says, if you follow Jesus, there will be no struggle, because that is a lie from the pits of hell. In this life, following Jesus, that crap ain't gonna be easy. And if that's the case, if following Jesus isn't going to be easy, if the Christian life isn't going to be easy, then why do we do it? Why would we put ourselves through this? And I want us to consider this question. What is suffering worth? What is suffering worth? And I want to jump back into the Bible here, but I want to look at a different character. Peter was one of Jesus's most famous disciples, maybe the most famous disciple. He was certainly the most outspoken disciple of Jesus. This is the Peter who was the first person to say, yes, Jesus, I believe publicly that you are the Son of God. He was the first person to voice that. If we remember correctly, Peter in Scripture, he walked on water with Jesus. We always talk about Jesus walking on water. We forget that Peter's like, hey, I want to come out there. And Jesus is like, come on out. And Peter's walking on water. That's this Peter. This is the same Peter that when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied knowing him. And so you've got this roller coaster of faith, this roller coaster of life, this very human character in Peter, a follower of Jesus. And he's writing a letter that we call 1 Peter. This is years after Jesus has died and risen again. And now he's a father of the church. He's a leader of the church. And he's writing to a group of churches in what's modern day Turkey now. And he's writing encouragement to them. Encouragement because they're being persecuted, they're being hunted, they're being mistreated. And Peter writes this. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? Time out. Okay, Peter. Like, if he just stopped right there, I'd be like, I got a lot of questions. Who would want to harm you if you're eager to do good? Peter, your example's Jesus. Apparently, a lot of people. Jesus did the best. He did all the good, and they killed him for it. So who would want to harm you? Probably a lot of people, Peter. And so that would be my question. But luckily, Peter doesn't stop there. He continues. But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. Peter wasn't saying, hey, you're not going to suffer. He answered his own question there. Who would want to do it? Well, probably some people. But when you do, as a follower of Jesus, when you do suffer for doing good, there will be a reward. And I've just spent the last 20 minutes convincing us, trying to convince us, or talk to us at least, about this life following Jesus is going to be a struggle. And now we hear about reward? So Peter, which is it? Is it struggle or reward? It's both. It is both. There is struggle and there is reward. You see, Peter's example is Jesus in this moment. And when he looks at Jesus, what does he see? He sees a man who went to the cross. He went through struggle. He did all of the good. Jesus had an ultimate struggle, a struggle that unfairly took his life. And I wonder for you, does that resonate with anybody? Is anybody having a fight on their hands right now that is unfair to them, that they didn't put upon themselves, that you didn't put upon yourself? You are unfairly going through a struggle, or somebody you love, outside of their understanding, outside of their control, they are going through a struggle. They didn't do anything to create it. If that's the case, you have good company because Jesus did that first. That was his story. He unfairly went through struggle, but there was a reward. And we jump ahead to verse 18 here with Peter, and he says, Christ suffered. Christ, that's Jesus' title. Christ suffered for our sins once and for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. You see, you have to get to the end of the verse to see the reward. Jesus' reward was that he was raised to life in the spirit. Our reward is earlier. He died for sinners to bring you home safely to God. You see, there was a reason for his suffering. There was a reason behind it. There was a struggle in him, a struggle that he had to walk through, and he gained something for both you and I. And Jesus still had a reward at the end. And here's what I want you to hear today. You might be suffering. Your suffering might be monumental. Your suffering might last longer than a season. Your suffering might take your life. And the reward in following Jesus is this, is that when you take your very last breath, it is not your last breath. Your last breath here leads instantly to your first glimpse of eternity with a God who loves you, where there is no pain, no struggle, no insecurities, no hurt. It is all gone. That's the reward. And Peter's not saying there's never anything good in this life too. Like God talks about that. Like there will be good things in our life. It's just not going to be all duckies and bunnies. And so for us, what's it worth to suffer? I think it's worth something because when we suffer, we are more like Jesus. I have a tough time relating to Jesus in a whole bunch of areas. I have a tough time relating to a man who said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do," while he's dying on a cross. I have a tough time understanding that kind of forgiveness. I have a tough time understanding what it was like for Jesus to walk through a sinless life and never make a mistake. I can't relate to him in that. But when I suffer and when you suffer, we get the opportunity to see a glimpse, to get to know Jesus a little bit more and be a little bit like him because we suffer just as he suffered. And when I get to see that part of Jesus, I know that there's more to suffering than just going through a tough time. I know that Jesus has something for me after that. You see, when we struggle, when we walk through the hard times of life, God's offered us something. He's offered us forgiveness and peace and contentment. All of those things are things that the world can't give us. What is it worth? What is suffering worth? When I was 14, for my birthday, my brother got me a new cassette tape. Anybody remember cassettes? Those were a thing. I got a new cassette tape of this little band called DC Talk. Now, DC Talk, does anything say early 90s more than this album art? Like, this was DC Talk, New Thang. I think that's their second album. Adam wanted me to sing a few verses from it. I will not do that. But this, I didn't know it when my brother gave me this cassette, but this would become my favorite band of all time. Like, I can look back on my teenage years and my early 20s, and like they're marked around like DC Talk albums. Like, I remember when they came out. I just loved them so much. I remember a buddy of mine, like, we went to a concert and we saw them. They opened for somebody, and then we just ran into them as they were walking around the stadium, and I thought my buddy was going to have a heart attack. Like, he was going to lose his ever-loving mind. Some of you might know this. I was shocked to know that a lot of people didn't know this, but one of the singers there, the guy in the middle, that's Toby Mac. Toby Mac's gone on to have a pretty good solo career. Decent. He's been fine. But back in 2019, Toby Mac lost his oldest son. His son was young, gone far too early. And Toby Mac, being a public figure, had to walk through the grieving and the hurt with millions of people watching. And I don't know what that's like. But one thing I loved is Toby Mac posted this after his son True passed away. And he said this. He said, "We don't follow God because we have some sort of under-the-table deal with him. Like, we'll follow you if you bless us. We follow God because we love him, and it's our honor. He is the God of the hills and the valleys, and he is beautiful above all things. We follow God because we love him." My prayer would be that you would know that type of love and adoration for a God who loves you so much, to be able to say in your hardest moment, in your most gut-wrenching season of life, "Yes, God, this is really hard, but I follow you because it's my honor to follow you. I follow you because you suffered first for me. I follow you because you are beautiful above all things." And here's the deal. If somebody told you, if a Christian or a pastor told you this wasn't the way, if they told you, "Hey, if you follow Jesus, life's going to go easy for you," I am so sorry. You were lied to. That is not the Christian life. That is not what it looks like. And I can't imagine the confusion that came into your life when all of a sudden you're like, "I didn't think the struggle was a part of this. I didn't think hurt was supposed to be a part of this. I'm following Jesus now. I'm a Christian. Everything's supposed to go great. I am so sorry." What is it I wish I knew, and what is it I wish I knew that you knew before following Jesus? Is that it won't be easy. Let's pray. God, we love you. We are grateful to you. We're grateful to a God who would go to the cross for us. We're grateful to a God that would suffer on our behalf. And even though, Lord, that suffering doesn't end our suffering in the moment right here, because of your suffering, we know that there will come a day that that'll be in the past. That'll be behind us. There will be no more tears. There'll be no more worry or heartache or insecurity. God, we are grateful to you for that. I pray for the person today who is walking through it right now, and they just got smacked with a left hook out of nowhere. God, I pray that they would know that you are with them, that you have walked that road too, that you understand what it's like, and more than that, you have the power to redeem them, redeem their situation, to bring them peace and comfort. God, I pray that you would meet them right now, right where they're at. For the person that's angry with God right now, I pray, God, that they would continue to be honest with you. You're a big God. You can handle anger. God, would they know? Or would your spirit give them the knowledge that you're grieving right along with them and you love them so much? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message moved you in any way, be sure to subscribe to the podcast to never miss your dose of encouragement. You can also follow us on social media with the handle @IamEmbrace. Again, we are thrilled you took the time to join us today. And if you live anywhere near one of our locations in South Dakota and Minnesota, we would love to have you join us in person. You can find out more and start a conversation at imembrace.com. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.